Hello, this is Joy Bridenbaker. Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone is a red-blooded adventure movie dripping with atmosphere, filled with the gruesome and the sublime, and surprisingly faithful to the novel. A lot of things could have gone wrong, and none of them have. Chris Columbus's movie is an enchanting classic that does full justice to a story that was a daunting challenge. The novel by J.K. Rowling was muscular and vivid, and the danger was that the movie would make things too cute and cuddly. It doesn't. Like an Indiana Jones for younger viewers, it tells a rip-roaring tale of supernatural adventure, where colorful and eccentric characters alternate with scary stuff, like a three-headed dog, a pit of tendrils known as the Devil's Snare, and a two-faced immortal who drinks unicorn blood. Scary, yes, but not too scary, just scary enough. Three high-spirited, clear-eyed kids populate the center of the movie. Daniel Radcliffe plays Harry Potter, and like all of the other young children, he with the round glasses looks much as I imagined him, but a little older. He once played David Copperfield on the BBC, and whether Harry will be the hero of his own life in this story is much in doubt at the beginning. Deposited as a foundling on a suburban doorstep, Harry is raised by his aunt and uncle as a poor relation, then summoned by a blizzard of letters to become a student at Hogsworth School, an Oxbridge for magicians. Our first glimpse of Hogsworth sets the tone for the movie's special effects. Although computers can make anything look realistic, too much realism would be the wrong choice for Harry Potter, which is a story in which everything, including the sets and locations, should look a little made up. The school, rising on ominous Gothic battlements from a moonlit lake, looks about as real as Xanadu and Citizen Kane. And its corridors, cellars, and great hall, although in some cases making use of real buildings, continue the feeling of an atmospheric book illustration. At Hogwarts, Harry makes two friends and an enemy. The friends are Hermione Granger, whose merry face and tangled curls give Harry nudges in the direction of lightening up a little, and Ron Weasley, all pluck, luck, and untamed talents. The enemy is Draco Malfoy, who will do anything and plenty besides to be sure his house places first at the end of the year. The story you either already know or do not want to know. What is good to know is that the adult cast, a who's who of British actors, play their roles more or less as they believed them. There is a broad style of British acting, developed in Christmas pantomimes, which could have been fatal to this material. But these actors know that, and dial down to just this side of too much. Watch Alan Rickman drawing out his words until they seem ready to snap, yet somehow staying in character. Maggie Smith, still in the prime of Ms. Jean Brodie, is Professor Minerva McGonagall, who assigns newcomers like Harry to one of the school's four houses. Richard Harris is Headmaster Dumbledore, his beard so long that in an Edward Lear poem, birds would nest in it. Robbie Coltrane is the gamekeeper Hagrid, who has a record of misbehavior and a way of saying very important things and then not believing that he said them. Computers are used exuberantly to create a plausible look in the gravity-defying action scenes. Readers of the book will wonder how the movie visualizes the crucial game of Quidditch. The game, like so much else in the movie, is more or less as I visualized it, and I was reminded of Stephen King's theory that writers practice a form of telepathy, placing ideas and images in the heads of their readers. The reason some movies don't look like their books may be that some producers don't read them. If Quidditch is a virtuoso sequence, there are other set pieces of almost equal wizardry. A chess game with life-sized deadly pieces, a room filled with flying keys, the pit of tendrils already mentioned, and a dark forest where a loathsome creature threatens Harry, but is scared away by a centaur. In the dark shadows of Hogwarts libraries, cellars, hidden passages, and dungeons, an invisibility cloak can get you out of sight, but not out of trouble. During Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone, I was pretty sure I was watching a classic, one that would be around for a long time and make many generations of fans. It takes the time to be good. It doesn't hammer the audience with easy thrills, but cares to tell a story and to create its characters carefully. Like The Wizard of Oz, Star Wars, and E.T., it isn't just a movie, but a world with its own magical rules and some excellent Quidditch players. Review originally written by Roger Ebert.